Coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, it's Radio GPT. What's that? Well, it's like Chat GPT, but it's just for radio. And Daniel and Standig and Craig Bowman from Futuri are here along with me and Chris Tarr. We're going to try to find out a lot about it and see if it's really worthwhile. Where's radio headed with artificial intelligence? That's coming up next on TWRT. This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio, audio problems disappear when you get angry at angryaudio.com. By Nautel, worry-free transmission you can count on with outstanding control, reliability, efficiencies, and Nautel's unmatched 24/7 customer support, online at nautel.com. And by MaxConnect Wireless, prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts. Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech, the show where we talk about everything from the microphone to the light bulb at the top of the tower. I'm Kirk Harnack, your host here in the TELUS Alliance studio in Nashville, Tennessee. It is a warm day and thunderstorms are popping and lightning and even tornadoes are possible, so I'll keep my eye out the window for that. But that's, never you mind that. We're here to learn about something else on this show. This show, we're going to be talking about Radio GPT, and we're going to find out all about what that means and what its implications are coming up in a few minutes. I'm just delighted to be here because this is a topic that I have wondered about and dreamed about and thought, I wonder if this is possible. And so our guests are going to help us out. But before we meet our guests, let's check in with Chris Tarr in Mukwonago, Wisconsin. Chris, welcome in. Good to see you, buddy.
You know, I had a case of that GPT once. I took some penicillin, cleared it right up. Here we are in my beautiful lair in Wisconsin. Beautiful day. It's actually been very nice the past couple of days, so, which is good because it has been a busy few days for the engineer here crisscrossing across the state. So I'm actually happy to be here with a little bit of downtime to be just relaxing a little bit instead of out working in the field and putting up antennas and things like that. So, but exciting.
Chris, I don't know if you want to make a show about it, but we've got a couple of slots open in the next month, actually pretty soon. If you want to do a whole show on your exploits, as long as we can learn from it, I'd love to hear about it, but love your pictures and videos.
Just put up a directional antenna, put on another translator. I got to run up and work on an antenna failure up north. So yeah, plenty to talk about, that's for sure. And got some good pictures too.
You know, something else that we could talk about on such a show where you go over what you've done with antennas, translators, directionals, and all that. I've got an upcoming project and I've got three different scenarios by which I could handle STL, automation placement. And they're all three equally valid, but I want to see what I'm not thinking of. And so maybe I can describe them to you. I'll try to get some pictures, some diagrams. We'll show those and have you analyze my three options for placing equipment, studio versus transmitter versus STL, no line of sight. So that's the one constraint. And have you analyze that and see what you would do.
No, that's pretty timely because I just pretty much made that decision on a station that I'm working on. So we'll be able to compare notes on how that turned out.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to talking to you about that and getting some free advice. And, you know, maybe it's worth more than I'm paying for it. I don't know. So, hey, let's bring in our guests. We have two guests today. We've got Suncast, our producer, just filled the monitors up completely. First of all, our first guest is the CEO and co-founder of Futuri Media, and that's Daniel and Standig. Daniel, welcome in. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Hey, great to see you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. I've familiar with you only, Daniel, because, well, Craig Bowman has talked about you. We'll meet Craig in a second. But you were on a panel at a radio show. I think it was the 2019 show in Dallas, the NAB radio show. Maybe it's a different one. But I heard you speak, and I thought, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. I want to know more about what this guy knows. So you're going to be talking to us about this thing that you call Radio GPT. Also with us is Craig Bowman. Why don't you introduce Craig and tell us about Craig?
Well, Craig is my longtime collaborator, friend, and partner at Futuri. And Craig and I met at the very beginning of Futuri, back when we were known as Listener Driven Radio or LDR. He's a heck of a guy, one of the brightest people I've ever met in my life. And he is a longtime broadcast engineer at Station Owner and has worked together as part of our leadership team at Futuri since the very beginning. So, ladies and gentlemen, Craig Bowman.
Craig Bowman. Hey, Craig, good to see you. Isn't that great to have your boss introduce you so glowingly?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering what the ramifications of that will be. I can't tell you, Daniel, Kirk has actually been in our plush offices in the trust.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Well, you've seen where the sausage is made. Fun fact, Craig and I together we are named together on 18 patents that have been registered around the world. And our big milestone in the middle of our COVID lockdown was that we actually had a virtual hearing with The Hague overseas on an international patent filing, and our patent was published. And so Craig and I, our families are both very entertained that we were appearing in front of The Hague, and they never guessed that it would have been for patent work. So we're very proud to be working together.
We're going to, after we take our first quick break and hear an announcement from Nautel, I'd like to get a quick, elevator speech about what Futuri does and why you guys, what are some of the things that you've developed that are helping radio and helping listeners to enjoy their experience more? So we'll get to that in just a second. Nautel wants me to tell you about something that's coming up, and it's a webinar, and it's their webinar that is all about transmitter, the new Nautel VX transmitter, and I'm stumble bumbling here because I thought I had it up on the screen. Maybe I can get Suncast. There it is. The VX Series FM rack mount transmitter. We've talked about this transmitter for almost a year now, on and off. This is a transmitter series that Nautel put a great deal of design effort into, and one of the things that's designed into it is serviceability. Because we know that sometimes you've got transmitters in a rack, and that rack is on a mountaintop. And maybe, like me, you've got a transmitter that is only accessible by helicopter. So I got one of those in Hawaii, and I know there are other people who do as well, or some other difficult, maybe only burro or mule can get you there, pack mule. Well, these transmitters are designed to be easy to service. You can do most things with no soldering. Use a screwdriver, replace the power supply, replace even the RF pallet you can replace with just a screwdriver. And these come in the popular sizes of 150 watts, great for translators, up through 6 kilowatts. It's a whole family of FM transmitters from Nautel. And this webinar is going to tell you about the design and use and putting into service these transmitters. The more you know, the better this is. And if you don't have one of these yet, attend the webinar and you're going to be very confident in installing one. So Jeff Welton and Matt Herndon, along with Justin Hutchinson, are going to be there for this webinar. You go to nautel.com/webinars and you can click on that link. We will try to have that in the show notes as well. And you can register for this webinar. This webinar is occurring ahead of Nautel's big presence at NAB. We'll be telling you more about that on an upcoming show. Thanks a lot, Nautel, for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. All right, I'm Kirk Harnack in the Telos Alliance studio in Nashville, Tennessee. Chris Tarr is along with us, and our guests Daniel Instandig and Craig Bowman from Futuri. All right, who wants to go first? I don't know, but I'd like to understand about Futuri. I've heard this name before. I've been to your place. I'm still not sure I know exactly what you guys do, but it's up there in terms of streaming and other things you do to help radio stations.
So our company started in 2009, and we're coming up on our 14th birthday. Our whole mission at Futuri is to answer the question, what would radio look like if it were invented after the internet? So if you think about all the inventions, all the amazing advancements that we've had in our culture over the last 100 years, more recently, smartphones, social media, AI, cloud computing, e-commerce, self-driving cars even, what would we think differently about the way that we operate in radio? And we believe that we would think holistically different about the way that we operate as radio owners and managers. We would think about the content that we create differently. We would think about how we attract and retain audiences differently. And we would think about how we ultimately sell our audience or recognize revenue differently. And so together at Futuri for the last 14 years, we have recruited over 120 people with backgrounds in computer science, data science, broadcast engineering, broadcast management, business management. We have a very unique and uniquely geeky culture at Futuri. And we work with more than 5,000 high-performing media executives and stations around the world to help them grow their content, audience, and revenue. You may know about our systems like our Post platform for podcasts, streaming. We do provide streaming services for thousands of broadcasters. We also have a system called Topic Pulse that shows you what's trending in your local market and uses AI to predict what will trend over the next 24 hours. And we have a system called Topline that is used by account executives and sales managers across the industry to provide sales intelligence that they can use to ultimately accelerate sales cycles, close deals faster, and help to provide relevant data for a particular buyer to help the buyer understand why they're a perfect fit for that broadcast brand. We're both passionately from radio and from technology, and our team just every day is lit up by working with stations and with personnel around the world who have also found similar passion in radio to help recognize the future and create the future together.
It sounds like I'm hearing that you are in the business of gathering a lot of data and manipulating that data so that it shows people what they need to do, what they can do, whether it's a listener being exposed to podcasts or whether this Topic Pulse, that sounds amazing, where you actually surface things that are just starting to trend maybe in my area, something that I'm not aware of yet. I don't want to hear it on my competitor first, right? A concert, right? A parade, something going on, a celebration. I'd like to be the first to talk about it and be the thought leader in a market. Is that what you help people do with that?
Yes. Ultimately, we're in the business of growing content and audience and revenue, or said more concisely, future-proofing radio. It's a business that we love and that we want to create the next generation for proactively and with a really unique and futuristic point of view.
Wow. All right. Well, I don't want to delay jumping into the whole radio GPT thing. Man, it just seems like artificial intelligence and ChatGPT and all the uses thereof just keep growing and growing. I follow a guy named Robert Scoble on Twitter, and Robert surfaces so many different things that people are doing with artificial intelligence. When I first heard about ChatGPT, I thought, well, maybe this is a tool that somebody in radio could use to be more educated and maybe to identify things that are just bubbling up and maybe even help people be topical. So listen, why don't I shut up and you kind of introduce me to your thought process, what kind of led you in to the idea that something like what you call radio GPT could make radio better.
Absolutely. So there are a few things that led us to radio GPT. First of all, what we know about radio today around the world is that audiences want more content than ever. They have a voracious appetite for content. We do research every year with the University of Florida's College of Journalism and Communications. We work with Nielsen, and we do research all the time with Smith Geiger. And consistently, we see that audiences want more content. And yet, we have fewer people in our industry to produce that content than we ever have. At the same time, audiences want more on-demand audio and video content. We see that social trends are the span of time that a social trend is actually viral is getting shorter and shorter and shorter because of how connected we are. And yet, we're an industry that relies on voice tracking that's done hours or, frankly, sometimes days in advance of broadcast time. So we really looked at radio GPT or AI as a way to bridge the gap for local markets that need more live and local content. And it's a bit controversial when we say live and local because we've heard from people who say, well, what's live about AI reading something or doing something on the air? And we'll explain to you why it is live and local and why we think it's actually more live and local than most voice-tracked broadcasting today. Ultimately, the promise of radio GPT is that broadcasters can make everything live, local, personalized, even if you're using it for stream fill or for other content that's not broadcast, to create more value for your audience. We want the audience to win. One of the big questions that we get is, are you out to get jobs from radio DJs? I mean, like, are you taking away jobs? The answer is no, of course not. We've dedicated our lives to building this industry up. We're not here to tear it down. We know that the job of an air personality is going to evolve and change in the coming years. And AI should be an extension of us and help us in radio to do what we do best and not be seen immediately as a threat. Ironically, we announced Radio GPT on the same day that Spotify announced their AI DJ. And you can bet that Spotify, Apple, Amazon are all thinking about how to be live and local and how to compete for radio's TSL, because they know that there's a big well of time spent with radio around the world to dip into and to ultimately gain more listening hours from. And so we see this as an important defensive opportunity against the DSP competitors, but also an offensive opportunity, a way for broadcasters to really create content that's interesting and fun and entertaining. And so with that, I'd be happy to give you a little introduction to Radio GPT. But anything you would add, Craig?
This has just been a topic for Daniel and I for as long as I can even think. You know, when we first started hearing some of the voices and realizing that we had the content and Topic Pulse and try to marry those products along with some of the other AI we have, it's just really, it's just very gratifying that we finally bring this to market in a state that it's enjoyable and is a benefit to the industry.
So I'm eager to get this explanation. And in a few minutes, we're also going to hear some demos. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to just take a little mental break here for a minute. One of our sponsors is a company that's also very cutting edge in helping people in the studio do their job better. And that is Broadcast Bionics and the Bionics Studio. I'll bet there's ways that these two things can go together, some of the offerings from Bionics and from Futuri. So we're going to hear from Bionics, and we'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to hear demos, and we're going to also get a better understanding of what this Radio GPT can do for live announcers that are still doing live announcing. I got a feeling that there's a lot can be done there in surfacing and bringing to light stuff to talk about that's really topical and not the same old, and then actual voices, actual computer generated or human voice. I don't know. We're going to hear from how that works in just a minute. So Broadcast Bionics is our sponsor right now. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome to the Bionic Studio. The Bionic Studio brings all audience interaction to the fingertips of a production team in radio, TV, and podcast. Our workflow-led system is working 24/7 around the world for small broadcasters and national and international networks. Our telephony module, Bionic Talk Show, allows cost-effective centralization, remote operation, scalability, and resilience across an entire network of stations, but at the same time is used in single-studio self-op environments. Social media curation and activity is now considered a broadcast critical part of programming. Bionic Social means the studio isn't overwhelmed with a wall of interaction from an ever-growing number of social platforms. We combine SMS, MMS, and email together with a speech-to-text service for listeners using smart speakers. We enable studio teams to curate, filter, and display all platforms in one place, and post text, images, and video content to multiple platforms in one operation. Effortless collection of video content with Bionic Director has helped position some of the world's most successful stations as leaders in viral content, generating appointments to listen and free marketing via retweets and shares. Bionic Contest enables end-to-end tracking of on-air competitions, live reads, and prizes. These could be on-air contests, automated SMS entry, or online. Anywhere, and Skype TX for Radio brings high-quality audio and video contribution into the studio with ease. No need for dedicated PCs to run different applications. Everything is controlled within the Bionic Studio UI, and incoming connections are visible to users along with all other platforms. Our codec integration enables connection, algorithm configuration, and directory to a wide range of IP and ISDN codecs. The Bionic Studio, a unique suite of products designed to enable your talent to work smarter.
Super intelligent stuff from Broadcast Bionics and the Bionic Studio. And see what they've got coming up next at NAB. I'll be bringing you some information from NAB. And Dan McQuillan will be our guest on a future show, showing you some of this incredible technology. Thanks a lot, Broadcast Bionics, for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. And right now, I can hear Chris Tarr sometime in the future saying, computer, show me what's wrong with my transmitter in whatever, in La Crosse. And the computer says, I'm afraid I can't do that, Chris.
You think that I don't do that now?
Although the
computer's a lot, the computer's a lot smoother. It's like, yes, master, whatever you need. So that's the difference now.
Chris and I are talking to Daniel Anstandig and Craig Bowman from Futuri. And Daniel, you were about to continue on with the explanation here of Radio GPT. And I got a million questions, but I think I'd rather have you just probably answer most of them through walking us through this. And then I'll ask whatever I missed. So what's next?
Sure, happy to do it. Okay, so Radio GPT ties into your broadcast automation system. It looks at your music log or program log, and in your program log, you will add break notes to tell Radio GPT where to essentially create voice tracks. You'll enter, as an example, which voice you want to use, for how long you want that voice to speak, and what you want that voice to speak about. And when we say what you want it to speak about, what we're really saying is that you'll name a category from our Topic Pulse system. That is our system that scans Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and over 250,000 news sources to show you what's currently trending in your market. So you could say, I want the voice Jasmine to speak for 25 seconds about the number one trending topic in Cleveland right now. And that break note is then, when we see that in the program log, Radio GPT replaces that break note with a voice track. But this is not simply text-to-speech. What's actually happening here on the back end is, one, you're either selecting a voice from what we call our voice choice library. We have over 100 voices that you can choose from that are a mix of synthetic or human cloned voices. Or two, you can actually clone a human voice and have that voice as your on-air personality. And you're also giving a personality on the back end of our system to that voice. So it's not just reading what's trending in the local market. It's effectively actually... It's creating a personality. It's as an example, we would say that Jasmine is 34 years old. An age gives it a certain life perspective because a 34-year-old is going to think differently from a 52-year-old. And then we give it specific personality traits. So when Jasmine is talking about a specific trending topic or story, Jasmine's speaking about it with those character traits, or we can even go further to give Jasmine a specific life story if we wanted to really go all the way. But every station is using this differently. Some stations are using it for weather and news elements and service elements, and some are using it for full 24/7, you know, replace or in the case of satellite formats where they don't have live personalities, actually put live personalities on the air, but make them AI.
Wow. Okay. So, quite a range of options there. Talk to me. One thing I'm interested in, and let's just delve for a moment into this idea of synthetic voice versus a cloned voice, whether it's somebody, in your roster or somebody at the radio. Like, I want to clone my voice. What are some of the differences in how they might speak, or are there any?
Well, a synthetic voice in our world is going to sound like, you know, something out of Westworld. I mean, it's still going to be humanistic, but it's going to have, it's going to be noticeable that it's synthetic or a bit artificial. A cloned voice, our mission with a cloned voice is to essentially create a deepfake. And that starts with a large data set of audio recordings. And we have some corresponding transcripts that we also create or that we provide to the air talent. We do pre-processing, and then we're really actually doing model training so that we are eventually tuning in, optimizing that voice through various hyperparameters to sound exactly like a human voice or like the human voice that we're cloning. And then the performance of that trained model is evaluated on a separate data set to make sure that there's a high quality output. And ultimately, what you hear sounds remarkably humanistic. You could clone air personalities, and I can tell you from our initial implementations of Radio GPT, the human clones that we've worked with so far are just inspiringly accurate. And that's, I think that's a good thing. I mean, we wanted to sound as humanistic as the broadcaster and as the audience want.
I've mentioned a couple times that we've got some demos to play, and I want to point out a couple things. There is a lengthier demo on your website futurimedia.com/radio GPT, or if you just Google radio GPT, that's the first thing that pops up. And there is about 13 minutes long? There's some demo there, but it has a lot of song clips that I don't think we can play here on our podcast. We'll get strikes from DMCA. But if you go to that webpage, you see on the screen right there, radio GPT, off of the Futuri Media website, and you scroll down, then you can find that demo where it says Radio GPT live, local, and powered by AI. And you'll hear telescoped songs with announcements between. Tell me about this demo, Daniel.
Well, our mission with the demo is to give you as close to a real experience of Radio GPT on the air as you can get. And when I say it's as close to, it's often talking about Springfield, and it's actually an amalgamation of various Springfields that it's looking at with it.
Okay.
Because we wanted to, we wanted to make it real. We wanted to make it feel, of course, like you would be listening on the air, but it's not actually being broadcast. That's just a demo stream on radiogpt.ai. But our two initial beta partners are Rogers in Canada, and they're working on implementation with us now. They've already been in testing with us. Same with Alpha Media out of Portland. And we have, by the end of this year, we'll be live on several hundred broadcasters. We have quite a list of installs to do during the second quarter here. We're really prioritizing based on the most compelling application of Radio GPT. Our mission is to create more live, local, interesting, entertaining media. So where we have partners and clients who are coming up with cool and unique ideas to do that, we're all in and we're doing it with them as fast as we can. There's been an incredible demand for this. And I think that just speaks to, the desire for radio to create more localized content and more dynamic content. Even things like commercials and voicing commercials have implications from technology like this.
So for several years, there's been some services available that you provide a text and it returns you with somebody reading that text. And one of my radio stations, a new rock station we put on the air in Mississippi, we kind of forgot about liners, just imaging liners. And so we had a friend of ours, Joey Cummings, who's actually been on the show before. Joey came up with some that are, they're the hard rock and hard hitting, kind of rock and roll liners. Yeah. Very appropriate. And they sound quite good. Joey provided us with a couple that we thought sounded a bit too mechanical. But so what I'm getting, the services where you provide it the text and it reads it back for you, that's been around for a while. And I think it's gotten better. And maybe you can speak to that. But
yeah, well, text-to-speech technology is using pre-recorded human voice samples to generate synthetic speech. So it will resemble the sound of a human. Because it's using a set of rules and algorithms to analyze text and produce corresponding sounds. But AI voices are different in that they're using machine learning algorithms to create more natural sounding speech. So they're not relying solely on pre-recorded voice samples. They're trained on a vast amount of data and more content. So they can use complex neural networks as AI to generate speech that sounds just about indistinguishable from natural human speech. And AI voices can also learn to mimic speech patterns and mannerisms of specific individuals, which makes this, on one hand, a very scary technology for, anybody when you start thinking about deep fakes and, the types of scams and nasty stuff that can happen from this type of technology. But on the bright side, it gives you a lot of possibilities when it's used in the right way. And there are a lot of useful applications ranging from voice assistants and virtual customer service agents all the way to on-air personalities.
When you earlier described having some rules in a break, in your break notes, and what you wanted the person to talk about and for how long that was, is the process where the script is written first of what the person will say, and then it's passed into the voice generation? Tell me what that process is like. What happens?
Yeah, so the first thing that happens is a break note from your program log that tells Radio GPT which voice or which several voices, because we can also produce talk breaks with multiple voices conversing with each other. So you can name one, two, or three voices that you want to have in a talk break. You give it a topic area from that we'll pull from Topic Pulse, or you can have it talk about a station promo or other content that you've already uploaded on the back end of your Radio GPT admin. And then when we see the break note, we generate a voice track right away or talk break that is based on your command. That talk break is then fed back to the automation system, and you can preview it what happens. And I'll explain a little bit. I'll slow down because I know this is a technical audience and you guys will understand this. So once we see the break note, we generate the talk break. The first thing we do is look at what's currently trending, and our system will select the best trending topic to put on the air for that talk break. Then that topic is summarized and restated in a more conversational way using the personality that you've configured within Radio GPT using GPT-4. We get that content back. It's scrubbed again for anything that could be questionable for broadcast. We never want Radio GPT to be a shock jock. Dad jokes only. So when Radio GPT gets content back, it's scrubbed for obvious profanity. It's scrubbed for anything that could have a secondary or implied meaning. It's redone, and the content is basically recreated if it doesn't pass through our filter. And then once we get the right content, then it's voiced through our AI voice system, which we've been developing now since 2019. When we started working with AI voices, we did find that even using neural networks and machine learning, it was still very difficult to create lifelike sounding audio. And there's been such great breakthroughs around, increasing that accuracy and the distinguishableness between a human voice and AI voice over the last couple of years. And so now what you hear and what you will hear on that demo stream is really close. And uninformed person might not know that that's actually AI speaking, which is a whole separate topic that we could talk about. But that's essentially how it works. When you get a talk break generated by Radio GPT, you can preview it. So if you like it and you want it to go on the air, you lock it in, and that's exactly what will go on the air. If you don't like it and you want it to be redone, you can enter information into Radio GPT the same way, Kirk, that you would enter a new prompt into ChatGPT. You're training our AI to adhere to your ideas about what that personality should or shouldn't do on the air. It will regenerate the break, and then you can lock it in again. Or if you do nothing, then Radio GPT is going to update that voice track about 5 to 15 minutes before that track runs on the air. And that's why we say it's live and local. Because what's actually happening is moments before that track plays, it's updating based on what's currently happening in the local market. So now hold that up against a voice track personality, as awesome as they may be, who are overworked, located 3,000 miles away in another market, are mispronouncing street names, and they voice tracked it 5 days in advance. There's just no contest. Now, do we want that to put voice trackers out of work? Of course not. We think that there are ways that Radio GPT can do local cut-ins for regional shows or for syndicated shows. We think there are ways that it could become the most ideal or interesting co-host. We look forward to the day that there's a ratings battle between an AI morning show that's entirely Radio GPT powered and a human morning show. I think it's going to be hilarious. And I think the audience will win. It's going to be great. It'll be great radio. Ultimately, I think that's one of our greatest intentions with this, is to use it to make us better broadcasters.
Chris Tarr, I see a new job in radio. It's actually prompt master. Who can write, the right prompts to make AI do exactly. I mean, I was thinking about this, Daniel and Craig. I was saying, it would be just magical if one of your breaks, you could come out of a song that was maybe down tempo, and you come out with a bit of a down tempo feel to your voice, but then you're going to pivot to a little happy talk about, at the city playground, they're going to put in a new merry-go-round for the kids, the one that slung you off when you were a kid.
We do that because we look at the music log. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
We look at the music log, and we can see content about that song. We pull content. We have a massive database of song information, and we're from radio. We've been on the air, so
yeah.
We're training Radio GPT to be the ultimate jock. So it looks at the song that's playing. It can change the expressiveness level of its voice based on the song that's playing, based on the sentiment of the story that it's reading or talking about. Based on the music, it can talk about the artist or the song. So yes, that's exactly what Radio GPT does.
It'd be magical if the break could, let's say you're talking about an event at the city park this Saturday, and then the announcer says, and speaking of that city park, it's going to be a beautiful day. We got the weather forecast coming up from, you know, Bob Schmidt, right after this break, and knowing that it's a good forecast for Saturday. And I guess all that's possible, to
that's right.
You know, well, but the weather may be dicey, on Saturday. You know, they could, to me, the pivots, the banter or the, segues, yeah, from one topic to another. To me, that it sounds so difficult to program into a computer, but you know, there's a lot of magic there that I don't know about. Chris Tarr, do you remember, you guys, all of you, did you remember the outtakes of Casey Kasem talking about?
I was just thinking about that when you were talking, when you're saying that, yeah.
I'm gonna come out of an up tempo song and talk about a dead dog.
Is Don on the phone? Get Don on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. People on radio know what we're talking about. Gosh. I keep promising demos. We're going to do that. We're talking to Daniel Anstandig and Craig Bowman, both of Futuri Media. And thanks for the hint on the web URL that you can go to, radiogpt.ai. And that'll take you to the landing page over at Futuri Media. That has this. We got a sponsor, Broadcasters General Store, and our friends at Inovonics that'll help you measure HD radio. And that is critical, especially when you're going to be cranking them up. I'm cranking up three HD radios this summer. And that's what Chris and I are going to talk about on an upcoming show, exactly how I'm going to get that done. So we're going to hear from BGS and Inovonics. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Gary Lerman. I'm Sales and Marketing Manager from Inovonics. I'm joined here by our President and CEO, Ben Barber. And we're here to tell you about two new products that we're very excited about. They're HD modulation monitors, the model 551 and 552. And Ben's going to take us through some of the features. Ben, what can you tell us about these?
The 551 has the big display, 7-inch touchscreen display. You can look at different parameters instantly by walking up to it and touching it, getting information that you need. It also has the LED displays for FM total modulation, left, right, FM, HD 1, 2, 3, and 4. The other thing that the 551 has is that it has full-time audio outputs on studio hub connectors on the back, both analog as well as AES digital. So you've got FM, HD 1 through 4 there full-time. The 552 doesn't have the display, doesn't have the metering, and doesn't have the full-time audio outputs, but the web interfaces are identical for remote viewing and monitoring.
Great. Thanks very much, Ben. These products are going to be available in January 2022. Contact us at InnovonicsBroadcast.com for more information. Thanks very much.
And obviously they are available and they're doing quite well. Inovonics makes all kinds of good things for your radio station, especially for monitoring your streams. They do that as well. So many good products, including the Justin 808. Chris and I are going to talk about whether I'm going to need one of those. And it's all thanks to Broadcaster General Store. They are a great place to get anything you need in terms of broadcast equipment and some broadcast services too. BGS.cc is the website. You can call them at 352-622-7700. Hey, I just spent last Thursday and Friday with Shane Finch, who's the GM at Broadcaster General Store, and Dave Kirsten, both terrific people. And I really trust them. I've been buying from BGS for probably 25, almost 30 years now. Thanks a lot to BGS for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. We're here with Chris Tarr, my co-host, and Daniel Anstandig and Craig Bowman are here from Futuri Media. Daniel, Craig, kind of where were we headed to next, talking about what AI can do, and we need to get to those demos.
Yeah, well,
Before we get too far into this, you know, we're talking about how far voices have come lately. Daniel and I have a safe word because we have cloned voices, so that we'll know if it's the real us on the other side. And this is the real us. But, you know, something that now's probably not the time, but Kirk, sometime we'll clone your voice and I'll let you hear what it sounds like.
Oh, my goodness.
There'll be coming weather in Nashville before you know it.
I can't wait until we do a Torch show and I'm interviewing, AI video chatbots.
Right. It's coming really fast.
Maybe Chris Tarr can be.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah. Chris Tarr could be, supervising a tower crew while he's on this show at the same time. I could do two things at once. Wow. Where does that leave Suncast, our producer? Does he still have to push buttons physically? Might have to. I don't know. That's right.
That's right.
Get into the prompts. That's right. So we got three demos on your website at radiogpt.ai. If you scroll down below the lengthy music our demo that includes music, which you ought to listen to, we have three others. So, Craig, would you like to set this up and tell us what we're going to hear on each one of these?
Well, I can't actually read them, so I will have to rely on Daniel for this.
So it looks like your first one there is weather. So this is Radio GPT getting a break note or a command at a certain point in the hour to do a local weather forecast. And this is what it sounds like.
Go ahead, Suncast.
Radio GPT, everywhere weather.
Cleveland weather brought to you by Giant Eagle Supermarkets. A strong low-pressure system will bring 1 to 2 inches of rain into northeast Ohio tonight, causing the threat of flooding east of I-71. After midnight, expect a mix of rain and snow with a low of 42. The rain ends before noon tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies and a power outage alert due to high winds gusting up to 55 miles an hour. High temperatures tomorrow will be in the upper 50s.
So what you heard there is an introduction from a sponsor, which would have been configured on the back end of Radio GPT or could have been configured through a break note or traffic log. And then you heard the weather forecast as fed live to us through our Weather Underground and any other weather feed that you prefer we go to. We currently use Weather Underground.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So the next one is a local traffic alert with sponsor. Where's this data going to be coming from?
So very similar concept here, and the data can come from your traffic partner or frankly from an RSS feed. And if you think about that, if you are a local station and you wanted anything that you are doing on your own website or that you could pull a syndicated, an RSS feed from, that could also inform Radio GPT or a talk break inside Radio GPT. So this is just an example of reading content from an RSS feed, really.
Go ahead, Sanjay.
This is SkyCam Traffic, brought to you by John Taylor Mazda. For those of you heading south on I-90 on your commute home from work, expect delays around the 71 interchange. Road crews are making repairs on the left lane, so be prepared to shift over to the right before the merge. Southbound I-77 out of downtown Cleveland looks good until just before 490. A minor fender bender has traffic backed up a mile or so. Reports have come in on patches of black ice on roads in that area. That's traffic from SkyCam 11, providing you with traffic updates on the hour, and brought to you by John Taylor Mazda.
So you're hearing pieced together elements of a sponsor of specific language that's trained to sound like it's a personalized or conversational traffic report, and then an outro. Now, you could also, from a music or personality perspective, let's say that you have a midday show, night show, overnight show, and you want to have a host entirely, act as a live personality on that show. You can do that too and have that personality, AI personality, talk about music, the weather, what's trending locally, promos, sponsors, events. I mean, really anything you like through the Radio GPT system.
So I don't have to have a separate weather person. In other words, on an overnight shift, I could have somebody outro the Donald Fagen song and then slide right into a weather forecast, somewhat conversationally. And then
you could have Radio GPT tell me do both things in one break. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the question I have is, can you, after a while, train even how to take certain words and change them up? So, for example, what I thought was a little kind of alien-like was your commute home from work on, it's like people don't really talk like that. I could see somebody writing like that, but generally I'll say, you know, oh, yep, on the ride home today, you're going to hit this or that. So is there going to be a way to kind of over time make that learn that, you know, that's not really conversational. That's just a, you know, that's a sentence to kind of make it more natural sounding.
Yes. We actually have a group of program directors and air personalities who are training the AI over time, including our partners who are using it on the air. So it will only get better and better.
Cool.
And that's interesting. And it's even done in the real world where somebody will write a speech for a presidential candidate, for example, and they need to hear that candidate. What would that candidate say? They can't write, you know, a DeSantis speech for, you know, for Hillary Clinton. I mean, not only would the content be wrong, but the phrasing and what they would bring up would be wrong.
Well, it's a programming thing too. I mean, you know, program director for all those years, and you know, you teach your staff that, you know, you're not talking at somebody, you're talking, you know, with somebody, and you know, you have to keep in mind that, you know, you would talk to that person like you would talk to anybody else. So, you know, what I heard there was really good. It just, there was still some of that hint of, you know, the formality of whatever was written in the RSS feed in there. And I thought about that. I went, well, you know, that sounds good. Although there's something uncanny about it simply because it's like, you know, it's almost like the old, and it's certainly not nearly this bad, but the old TV sitcom stuff, it's Saturday Night Live or whatever. They're like, well, hello, greetings, fellow human, you know, kind of thing. And it was very close, but it wasn't quite there. And I was like, wow, that sounds really good. Except that just linguistically, something sounded a little off. So like I said, it sounds like you've got a really good group of people working with that for training. And I'm sure, you know, this is so, you know, it's just going to get better as time goes on and can learn these changes.
You know, what I'm thinking is that people like Daniel and Craig and the people that you're working with, you guys know when it's right. Whereas the people at Spotify or Apple, they may not know when it's human-like, when it's right, when it's conversational properly. I got a feeling that you guys are going to have a real handle on making this sound like real people.
I think you're right about that. Of course I do. But, yeah. But you know, we're an organization made up of, you know, broadcasters and technologists. So we do have an edge over a pure play tech company that's just messing around with text to speech. There's no doubt about that. And frankly, over radio stations that are entering text to speech or doing copy pastes and thinking that they're really cool because they have a text to speech robot on the air. It's far more complex than that. Even when you think about reading commercials, Kirk, there's, you know, there's things about the script that you do in radio that only you would only know from working in radio, like avoiding overused ad speak. Hello, Cleveland. You know, or disallowing or intercepting product claims or certain product categories or attack speak or, you know, adjusting your energy and your pacing and your attitude in a way that gets the attention of the audience. These are things that you know from working on the air and that you know from being in radio and helping thousands of radio stations. And so, you know, we don't take for granted that we know it all. We do believe that we have an edge in helping broadcasters to really create and implement this type of technology and shape the future, though, in a unique and different way than just plugging in some text-to-speech engine and hoping for the best.
I've played a lot with the online ChatGPT stuff, and you ask it to write you just play with it and, hey, write a commercial for a flower shop on this street, and here's their phone number, here's the days they're open, here's what they specialize in, blah, blah, blah. And in fact, your prompts can be, you know, just about writing a spot yourself, just about that much. And what I've gotten back so often has been competent, but typically not exciting. Typically nothing really new. It's ad copy that, and I know we're talking about a different topic here, but I get back ad copy that a good first year college student would have been able to write. Didn't have any big errors in it, but neither was it very creative. How do you, is this example worthwhile at all compared to what you guys are doing? Or is this a challenge that you guys have to deal with?
You know, one of the aspects that we have built in here is to be able to generate personas around people. This speaks as much to your previous point as to this. So when we run it through the Radio GPT engine and system, it knows that you're a, 25-year-old female who just broke up with her boyfriend, who has a dog that they love. And, you know, the more information that we can put in and create like a soul, if you will, for that person, then the more realistic the reads come out to us.
Sounds like, boy, this whole deal of creating prompts or creating, you know, you're almost like an author, right? When you're coming up with what is this personality all about, and what does that imply, how they're going to say things and act, and, you know, what are they going to emphasize and what are they going to gloss over? So,
well, that's true. And you have to keep in mind that you're also not just writing a prompt for GPT, you're also training your own chatbot AI around GPT. So GPT-4 to be specific here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the humor or the creativity or the confidence or the enthusiasm, all these traits that you would hear coming through the script or coming through the AI voice are not only based on what GPT-4 can do, but also what our AI chatbot trained around it can do and what we can do with the expressiveness or the variability of the voice in our own AI voices. So personality is complex. It comes from, you know, many different kind of components of the system, but it's built around very simple inputs for the user and for the station. So when I say, I want to create Jenny, and Jenny is 32, and she is creative, and she has a lot of empathy and patience, and she has a lot of curiosity about the world. Okay, well, then that's going to inform not just what we feed in a prompt to GPT-4, but that also will inform the AI chatbot wrapper that we have. That also informs the type of voice dynamic that we might create, and so on and so forth.
This is so fascinating. And I know, I'm sure you guys have spent hours and hours and days and thousands of hours developing this kind of thing. And we could barely scratch the surface here. We're going to hear one more demo in a couple of minutes. Chris, it reminds me that he's got to run here in about 5 minutes. And Chris is an integral part of telling our audience, sharing with our audience about one of our sponsors. So I'm going to ask Chris to do that now for Angry Audio. In fact, I was chatting on the phone today with Mike Dosh at Angry Audio. You talk about a guy that gets radio and understands how to build, you know, hardware that people interact with to make radio better. Chris, what do you have to talk about Angry Audio today?
Well, I was just talking to him not too long ago, and boy, I can't wait to talk about some of the stuff he has coming up very soon in the pipeline that sound just amazing. So I can't wait to talk about those. But first, let's just talk about building a studio. You know, something that seems to be pretty easy. We all do it. But, you know, in the bad old days, if you wanted to do things like headphone jacks and microphone jacks and all these different things around the studio for guests, it was always drawing holes and running wiring and, you know, soldering. And it was just a big, big mess. What if you could put all of these elements together to build a studio and have it go super smoothly just by using little drop-in parts, little gadgets and gizmos? Well, that is what Angry Audio is all about. If you check out Angry Audio, they have things like on-off buttons for microphones, little pods to plug your headphones in, and even thoughtful things like the pods that you plug your headphones into. If you mount them under the countertop, the edges are rounded so you don't whack your knees on them and get cuts and everything. They've got headphone snap-outs. They're made with magnets so that when you have your headphones plugged in, if you walk away, it just pops the magnet and keeps your headphones and your headphone cabling intact. You can see all the gadget gizmos, the headphone disconnector, the headphone gizmo, the mic tally gizmo, the button gizmo, the guest gizmo, all of those. So when you're building a studio, you no longer have to create the logic and source the push buttons and the lights and everything else. There is a good chance that Angry Audio has a gizmo or a gadget that will take care of it for you, just like the mic tally gadget. And new things coming down the line. Not only, you know, can your talent use your headphone connector to plug into a headphone gadget, but what if you're running HD radio and you have just program audio available, and maybe your announcers like to hear that processed audio? Well, that's where the Chameleon comes in. They've got a Chameleon that can process your headphones and your microphone to make it sound like you're on the air, to give you that on-air thick sound. So from beginning to end, from the microphone all the way back to the headphones, Angry Audio has a solution that will take care of your problem. And it's all real simple, very inexpensive stuff. And a lot of this stuff is just drop-in, studio hub connectors, those sorts of things. So just a really simple way to put a studio together with lots of nice little features. You can make your studio run and operate beautifully for your announcers. And just a really simplified but elegant way to solve your problems. You know, problems disappear when you get angry. So get angry. Angry Audio at angryaudio.com.
Can't wait to talk about another new product coming up from Angry Audio called Smoove. We're going to probably talk about that after NAB. Hey, our show is also brought to you by Max Connect Wireless, and another Michigander is here to tell us about it. It's Gary Morrill. We'll see what he has to say.
I'm Gary Morrill, Midwest Regional Director of Engineering for Alpha Media. When I first spoke with Josh Bone about Max Connect, he told me they'd work great for remote transmitter sites where connectivity was a challenge. And you know, he's absolutely right. We even have sites where we're using this as a backup to our STL using Max Connect's dual carrier option, and it works perfectly. We also have times where we need to be able to get out to a venue where it's kind of challenging because everybody and his brother is trying to stream video at the same time, like at a big sporting event. And you know what? Our data gets through every time because it's prioritized packet data. It works for us. It'll work for you. Max Connect. Check it out.
Thanks so much to Josh Bone and Max Connect Wireless for being a real service to our industry. It certainly has kept my stations on the air a few times when we had outages, and WEVL in Memphis kept them on the air during their pledge drive when lightning took out their Comcast cable modem. Thanks a lot, Max Connect and Angry Audio, for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. All right, we've got a few minutes left. Chris has to vamoose on out of here. We're talking with Daniel Anstandig, the CEO and co-founder of Futuri, and also Craig Bowman is here as well. He's the Senior Vice President there. And we're going to, Daniel, would we be okay in playing this little clip of local news that's AI generated?
Yes. Let's go for it.
All right, let's get back to the Howard Harvey Show after we see what's happening today in Cleveland. Ohio senators have introduced the Railway Safety Act. Union Chair and Senator Sherrod Brown favor the bill, though further regulations are still needed. Senator J.D. Vance emphasizes the importance of helping East Palestine now. The EPA maintains the air and water quality is safe. In other news, MetroHealth found $1.9 million in unauthorized bonuses paid to its former CEO, Dr. Akram Boutros. The audit also revealed weaknesses in the hospital oversight policy and lack of board authorization. His attorney claims board approval of the bonus program was known, but Boutros has repaid the bonuses and notified the Ohio Ethics Commission. Here's something cool. The Cuyahoga County Public Library just achieved 3 million digital book checkouts, ranking 19th in the nation. Their Libby app enabled them to offer ebooks since 2004 and allows readers to check out books any time of the day or night. Close to 100,000 new digital users checked out at least one book last year. That's Today in Cleveland. Now back to Howard Harvey on Radio GPT.
How did you get it to pronounce? How'd you get it to pronounce Cuyahoga? That's amazing.
You train it to pronounce Cuyahoga.
Okay.
And it's trained on pronunciations as well. And what you just heard is a collection of what's trending in the local market to produce a local newscast. Now, when you listen to RadioGPT.ai, you're going to hear conversational air personalities the way that you would on a morning show or a typical music show. So they'll talk about the songs. They'll talk to each other about what's happening in the market. They'll have opinions. And it's really fun and interesting to listen to. And I think as GPT gets better and better, and as our chatbot is trained with more and more specificity around what a great air personality sounds like, it's going to be really compelling.
Craig, how do you see stations dipping their toe in the water on this? Let's say I'm willing to try it out overnights, or I don't know. What do you see stations doing that want to see if this is going to work for them? And do you think it'll be better in 5 years? Even if you say there's nothing really wrong with it now, what improvements may be coming down the line? That's actually two questions. Craig, first one. Howard Station is going to use this at first.
The second one first. You know, it will definitely be better in 5 years. I mean, if you look at the improvements that we've been able to make since I started this project, it doesn't seem like all that long ago that I started a couple years ago. I mean, it's just night and day. If it, 2 years ago, it wasn't a thing. You know, now it's ready for prime time and getting much, much better. How stations use it, that really depends on the station owners. You know, if somebody's afraid of it, you know, maybe doing weather forecasts, have a different voice for different day parts and have it be your staff weather person or news person, or, you know, have it creating spec spots for the salespeople to take out. I mean, there's just really no limit to what you could do, you know, anything from that to, you know, having a three-person morning show.
Could your offerings expand to begin to include things like just program formulation? Like, hey, build me a hot CHR station and that skews toward this demographic. What are the possibilities there with just telling you to make me a radio station and, you know, I hear the names I want for my announcers and, you know, can you build me the whole thing?
You know, Kirk, not only can we build you the whole radio station, we can let your listeners vote on which song is going to play next.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, that certainly is where this is going. Content personalization is going in that direction. You know, think about just applications outside of the air personality or the types of examples that you've heard in this last hour together. Think about examples like just stream fill, so that when you break away from your stream, if you need 60 seconds of content that matches that listener's profile, voiced by a personality they love and trust, automatically generated, automatically fed to them individually, that's, I think, where I see this going first, is really creating content personalization and enhancing the quality of the experience through, you know, our current thinking of stop sets and targeting listeners in a different way, creating more relevant content for them. I think that's likely to start first versus, you know, having the AI do music playlist generation and so on and so forth. Now, even if you weren't using Radio GPT, by the way, to create live content that's already voiced, you could use our other technology, like Topic Pulse, to just help you as a live air personality. Topic Pulse scans Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, 250,000 news sources, and it shows you what's currently trending in your market and what's predicted to trend. And we recently added a feature to Topic Pulse called First Draft, where you can take any story that's currently trending. You can have it draft for you a summary of that story as a blog post. You can have it draft for you talking points so that it's essentially telling you how to talk about that topic on the air. Or you can have it draft a social post for you. And it's First Draft because you can then take it and give it your own tone and voice and publish to your channels, whether that's through voice on the air or through a social channel, through text and images, as you like. We also have an instant video system that uses AI to take what's currently trending and create 60 seconds of video about that topic using licensed footage and images. Over 110 million licensed footages and footage and images are in our database and available to create a quick video about something that's happening in your local market. So we see AI as a tremendous producer, friend, helper to live personalities. And if you have a local market that you're serving, it should be easier now than it was 90 days ago or a year ago, certainly, to use AI to actually serve your community.
Wow. Would you have anything to say about competing services? I noticed that actually a guy who's actually a friend of mine, Fletcher Ford, is coming out with something he calls Radio Workflow. How do you see competitors? How do you see partnerships? What's ahead for this kind of stuff business-wise?
We're hearing from so many people. I mean, we've heard from thousands of broadcasters since we went public with Radio GPT, and we're every day we hear about some, you know, cool opportunity or idea around ways that we can partner. We're always open-minded to it. We think it's just the best time to be alive and broadcasting. And I know that sounds funny to some people because it's been a really challenging time for broadcasters, especially during COVID, especially dependent on local advertising. But this is the best time to be alive. It's exciting to see how technology can be put to work. And I, by the way, Kirk, I applaud you and your team for doing this podcast. It's very cool to see some of the new creations. And shout out also to our friend Cornelius at Angry Audio. We saw the Angry Audio spot there. I think we're all in this together. And this is a time for us to partner and to create new and interesting and cool ways that we can shape the future of this industry together. We love this. And, you know, I think maybe the best way to kind of sum up where we're at in this industry today is that this is an industry that is built, radio is built on mentoring. You can't really go to school and learn radio. Yes, there are trade schools. Yes, there are programs at universities around the world. You don't really know it until you've worked in it and until you've had mentors. It's a business built on the shoulders of the people who came before us. And so with that being said, I don't think any mentor or any program could have ever prepared us for the competitive scenario that we face in the next decade in this business. It's going to be fierce. It's going to be difficult from a revenue perspective and from an audience perspective. And we have to play offense, and we have to be smart about using technology to our advantage and not be afraid and not come up with silly nonsense questions like, is it going to take jobs? Yeah, it's going to take jobs if we don't do something to use it to our advantage and play offense. So we're creative, we're flexible, and we feel like, you know, nobody could have prepared us for this moment in time, or you or any of us who are working in broadcasting for this moment in time. Now is the time to work together and not consider each other competitors. So that's my personal philosophy. I know that's Greg's also, because we've worked together for so long, and we really appreciate, you know, that anytime there are new ideas or ways that we can work with collaborators, we're always open.
Real quick, technical question. That's a great summary. And yeah, if you love radio and love content creation, learn to change, adapt, and be good at with what tools become available. Just like we all use the internet now. I mean, we used to use fax machines and then we had the dot matrix printers for AP. And before that, we had the printers, and you had to change the ribbon on them. Remember that? Remember all that? Quick question, technical, before we have to go, Daniel, and that is this cloud based if I subscribe? Yes. Okay, so this would not be a local in my brick and mortar based solution, right?
That's right. It's entirely cloud based. There's local software that we install within the same network as the automation system,
sure.
And Craig could give you more information on that, but there's no hardware.
And speaking of Craig, I want to ask Craig, people interested in this, what's the best way to kind of get familiar with what you guys can do?
Listen to the demo is probably the first good step. And, reach out to me, Craig@futuremedia.com. And, for a fact, I'll explain as best I can to as many people who will listen. You know, I'm as geeked about this as I've really ever been about anything. And, in fairness, Kirk and I go way back to Scott Studios days back
then. Yeah, yeah.
We won't mention it here, but... And another shout out, Gary Morrill, the other Michigander, was the very first guy I met in the state of Michigan back in 1989, I think it was, or 90. So it's such a nice, close-knit family we have here in radio.
Well, it seems like, you know, like so many tools we get in radio, you can use them badly or you can use them well. I'm going to brag for a second on my business partner at some radio stations. That's Larry Fuss. And Larry is super good at executing formats on automation systems. I mean, you listen to any of our stations and they just snap and sound good and bam, bam, bam. And the imaging is all great. And it's something that I want to learn. In fact, one of them, our station from Hawaii, I keep on all the time in my hallway just outside the office on the Wi-Fi radio. So with any tool, I think you can use it for bad and for good. And I think, boy, this Radio GPT tool is going to be one that's just got so much upside that we need to learn to work with it. Hey, we got to go. And Daniel and Standing, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate your giving us some technical insights into what you're doing there. Thanks a lot.
It's our pleasure. Thank you very much for having us.
And Craig Bowman, great to see you again, and I'll look forward to seeing both of you at NAB. Thanks for joining us. I want to give a shout out to Suncast, our producer. Thanks for staying on top of things there and publishing our show every week. And thanks to Chris Tarr, who had to leave a few minutes ago. Chris, really appreciate you and look forward to next week's show. We got to run. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye.